everybody. Welcome to a Friday night rogue show. You guys know how we fucking do it, man. Let me start off by shouting out to all my sponsors. Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon, man. Good food, good beers, hot waitresses, MMA, 7 days. Gotta love that shit. Plus, they support it big time. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Ink Tank Tattoo, man. Love those guys. You're ever here in Oregon, hit them up, get some work. Also, big shout out to Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution, man. They got everything you need to get you right, man, whether you're commercial or whether you're personal. They take care of you. And we cannot forget, last but definitely not least, the number one mouth guards in the world, motherfuckers. Protect that grill. Clinch custom mouth guards at getclinch.com. These guys take care of local fighters like nobody's business. Get the best. Don't go buy no $90 fucking Hayabusa shorts so you look cool when you get knocked out. Make sure that grill is protected, okay? Let's fucking be real. And with the laughter, I'm going to bring in the president of MMAtopics.net, Chris Gregory. How you doing tonight, brother?
Yo, man, just chilling, man, watching a little event on GoFi Live. It's in Nicaragua, man, so it's kind of a different event. Some young guys fighting, man, and, you know, just chilling, man. What's up? What you got going on tonight?
Man, we're going to talk all kinds of shit. By the way, for everybody out there, that is Omega MMA. He is talking about Battles of the Americas. Mayorga versus Tiffer. Dude, he's got a cigarette in his mouth walking to the ring. You gotta fucking love that. He is smoking a cigarette walking to the ring. That's a baller, dude. That's a guy after my own heart. He is smoking check him out, dude. He's smoking a cigarette. Get ready. That's great. I don't want to forget the man himself who always seems to join the Rogue Show because he likes that. And, you know, that craziness because he's always slaving away. Jeff, president of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. How you doing tonight, brother? I see how it is. I give you a nice intro, and you're like, fuck Skip. Well, fuck it. We're gonna bring in one more person on the panel. This is an old-time friend, 20 years. Dude grew up talking K1 with this cat. He knows that shit better than anybody, and you guys know I know my K1. This cat, old school, works for Madhouse, representing deep in Texas. Trey Davenport, welcome to the Rogue Show, motherfucker. How you doing?
What's up, brother? I'm here, baby.
Hey, good to hear your voice.
Yes, sir.
Believe it or not, you're on with Clinch, and I know that you've actually bought a Clinch custom mouth guard, so you know what kind of a wonderful product that is. And then you're also on with Chris and the millions and millions and millions of fans jamming out tonight.
What's up, guys? Nice to be back.
Hey, big shout-out to Sherry. You know, she's always taking care of us, always supporting us, pumping the show. Got to give her some love. To everybody tonight, we open the show with Slayer because dearly departed Jeff Henneman, in honor of him, I thought we'd open up with a full song of Slayer. For anybody out there who doesn't know, he got a spider bite, got a little sick, had an infection, thought everything was going good, and passed away, and we lost a great musician. So big shout out to him. If you guys are gangster, pour a little beer out or a 40. If you're crazy like us, light up a fatty. If you're a junkie, please don't do anything. Just go away.
I'm pouring out my Mountain Dew right now, bro. Mountain Dew is getting poured right on my floor.
Oh, shit. Well, for everybody out there, including Jeff, I know you're probably muted your mic up, so whenever you're ready, you just jump in. I don't know where LaPocky is, but I'll tell you guys this much. If he don't show the fuck up, dude, we're going to break his balls tonight. I'll tell you guys that right now, fans. I will tell you guys a story about him that will make you guys just totally think twice about who he is.
Wow. That could be...
Bye.
Okay, so before we get too far into this show, who all watched the fucking Glory 8 Tokyo? I just can't even fuck all you guys. Wow. Well, for everybody out there, that was one ridiculously badass fucking event. the tournament, and it's and most of you folks don't even realize there was two tournaments on that card in one night. You don't get better than that, man. Let's be honest. You know, you had, I think it was the 85 and the 65 kilogram tournaments. The 85 was a four man, the 65 was an eight man. And I'll tell you guys, beautiful fights. Utah Kuba beat Masaki Nori via unanimous decision, 146-143. But I'll tell you guys right now, that kid deserves all the love and praise in the fucking world. Not only did he take a nut shot in the opening round of the tournament, he took a spinning roundhouse kick to the crotch after the belt that broke his cup and strap. Okay,
mm.
And he still fucking continued to fight, man. That is baller as shit. Okay? That kid is tough. Also, folks, Jerome LeBanner beat Kachi. Rematch Kachi wanted before he dropped down in weight. Bad rematch to ask for. He got his ass whooped. Also, Andy Reese, beat down Albert Krauss with a KO in the second round. If you guys didn't see that, that was sick. And then, I'll be honest, everybody, you guys, if you don't know who Peter Arts is, then please just Google that. But he took on a newcomer, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, this is somebody you're going to be watching for quite a few years. Jamal Ben Sadiq, guy, looks like he could be the next Bada Hari, folks. I said it. Okay? I fucking said it. But the biggest surprise of the whole fucking tournament, and I don't know where Lepaki is because I think he would love to talk about this, is Masaki Nori. This kid, 19 years old, dude, you guys, unknown, comes in and makes it all the way to the end of the 65-kilogram slam finals for the tournament. Dude is legit, and I can tell you right now, folks, you're probably going to get to watch this kid for about the next 15 to 18 years perform. Without any serious injuries to slow him down, I don't know if there's going to be anybody better than that.
And those are some strong words, buddy.
Dude, straight up, that kid, he took out the number one contender for the tournament, dude. The number one ranked fighter, and he did it with ease. So.
Nice.
Yeah, there was. I watched as much as I could last night, man. I passed out while watching it. My wife woke me up this morning, and I was like, I woke up already like, oh, man, I knew it. I knew it right away. It's like the 1FT days when I fell asleep. I'd be like, oh, man, are you kidding me? Like, wake up, like, heartbroken because I missed it. But I caught the Jerome LeBanner fight, so I'm cool with that. That was cool.
You're like, that's the most important one.
I woke up for that one.
Well, there's some great fights going down this weekend. I know there's some good local events going around. Tonight, Ohio Fighting Championships went down. Super pumped about Cage Warriors in a few hours from now. I don't know, about 10, 12 hours from now. We got Roctagon this weekend. We got Ring of Combat going down. By the way, Jeff, Northwest Fighting. Oh, no, never mind. That was the wrong event. Young Guns is up on Tapology, folks, if you guys want to go pick on that card. I thought we were looking for the Axe card. Never mind, so I screwed that one up. But Deep's going to be tomorrow night as well, man. Samurai Combat from Brazil will be tomorrow night. Dude, fucking stacked weekend.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to roll up to Kansas City, I believe, tomorrow night and check out Kansas City Fighting Alliance 5. It's a pretty big pro-am event. The thing is sold out, man. It's going to be a great, great fight. Dude, Rob Philippus, I don't know if you guys know who this guy is, dude. Huge heavyweight. I would say he's like the number two heavyweight in Missouri, is taking on David Hammonds, which is way smaller than Rob, man. Let me just say that Rob probably cuts weight to get to heavyweight. That dude is just a monster. That's going to be a sick Emmy fight. And then you got the guy that I'm supposed to fight on June 29th actually failed to show up at weigh-in, so I'm kind of wondering, you know, if I should really if I should be waiting for this character or if I should just be getting another fight. But, I mean, the whole card is stacked. But, yeah, I guess he didn't show up tonight, so it's kind of upsetting. Usually this dude shows up, so. Skippy, where you at, man? What's up? Am I talking to myself?
It's like you're not talking to yourself. I'm walking
around
with an ass whooped. Hold on. I'm sorry. This guy's got a full mount, dude. He's just raining down elbows. You just stop finishing the guy. How are you not finishing him for fucking full mount?
You know what?
That's 10 fucking hammer fists in a row. How do you not? Oh, dude, there you go. Go for it. Come on. Oh, he's got it. Cap, motherfucker. That shit's going to snap.
Yeah, he better cap.
Oh, he's going to say, dude. He's going to break that shit. He's tapping at the dude. Stop him. He's tapping.
He doesn't know what he's doing, man.
Dude, how could you let that get that far into it? That guy almost broke his arm off.
Skippy, that's been a thing tonight, man, is that these guys really have had a hard time finishing these fights. I mean, I don't know, man. These guys seem new to the sport, a lot of these guys. I don't know. You look at Brian Green, he's shaking his head like, man, are you serious? Look at him. He's like, man. I really, none of these guys could come over here and do anything in the United States as of right now. And we know that. But, I mean, some pretty good fights. Probably made like $200 a night.
Dude, you got a free trip to Nicaragua, man. Come on now. Yeah, there's no referee in Nicaragua. What'd you say, Trey?
Said free beer is free beer, man. Either way, look at it.
That's right. Jeff, would you take $200 in a full-paid expense trip to Nicaragua to referee one event?
Sure. Sounds like an adventure.
See, that's what I like.
Take a gun?
Like,
can I have a gun?
I don't know what the rules are down there. I bet
you're
going
to have to
buy
one. Buddy. Yeah, I bet. Probably at the door.
Probably at the door.
It looks like, it honestly looks like there's quite a bit of people in the audience. And what's funny to me is that they mostly look over 40, like they're all old people just chilling.
What's that supposed to mean? Over 40 is old asshole? Punk ass kid?
Damn.
Man, I'm gonna go up to heavyweight, lay a beating on you. Meet me at 205, would you?
Hell no. Depends when. Give me a year or two.
Good.
Okay, you can have a year or two.
Jeff, there's no way you're at 205, Jeff. Really?
No, I said I'll meet you at 205. I gotta go up a little bit. He's gotta come down a lot of it. I'm 190, so I don't have too far to go. I could, you know.
What do you mean he's gotta come down a lot of it? He's gotta come down like half a VW bus.
Yeah, that's a lot.
No, fuck you. Fuck you, Skippy.
You're going to have to mix up the Taco Bell diet.
Hey, now that's the funny thing is because, like, you take Chris Gregory, you know, and he's the heavy, heavy, super heavy. What do they call that? Above 300 weight class. Super heavy? And then you got Trey on the other hand. Trey, what do you weigh, like 125? And you're like 6'5"?
Fuck you. Hey, I'm almost heavy as I've ever been. I'm about 163 right now.
Holy shit, you got fat.
Hey, it ain't fat, brother. You know me. I'm still like 2% body fat. It's fat.
That's horrible to hear because I'm like 62. I'm more fat than muscle, buddy.
Oh, shit. Loan me a little weight.
Cool.
I'll turn into muscle.
See, what's as funny is if we ever have a shipwreck, me and Chris Gregory are going to survive because we'll float because we're fat. You two fuckers are going to drown because all that muscle weighs.
No, we're going to kill you and eat you and live a lot longer for eating you.
No, we'll take the boat. It'll get more steaks off of your ass they'll be more marbled, so they'll taste better.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, they'll probably get us high. Probably get us high from that meat, too, I'd imagine.
You guys be hallucinating off my ass.
Medibles, man.
Yeah.
Ring girls, guys. They're doing a 418. How come our ring girls don't do this? Wow. Our ring girls don't do anything like this. They're stripping in the cage.
I definitely see dollar bills getting thrown in right now.
Dude, right? Dude, are you guys, dude, straight up, man. It looks like five strippers going to work right now. Lights going, music blaring.
Well, and the thing is they're in Nicaragua, so my guess is that, you know, they walk out of the cage and they start hustling it outside, too, you know?
Yeah, they probably do.
I've been to Tijuana, you know what I'm saying? I've been there, done that.
You got to go to a boys town, huh, Trey? One of those little makeshift border towns where you go get trashed? $5 all you drink Coronas?
Dude, you just got to find a shadow in fucking San Antonio, brother.
That is the truth. Anybody out there who's never been to San Antonio, we call it the New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of that, dude, you missed the kick-ass event a couple weeks ago down there with Cowboy Combat Extreme Cage Fighting, man.
The people, man, they're fucking good. It's good people, good event, good venue. Man, it's just a good time all the way around.
Yeah. And, dude, they're putting up some good events coming up, and I'm hoping that the rumors are true that they're going to start doing pro-am cards again, you know, because I would really like to see that. I know they started with the all-pros, dropped that with all amateurs, and now I hear they're going to mix it up, so that would be cool.
Well, yeah, see that chick in the people who run that, hell, you know her name better than I do. They're the same ones who helped the legacy go down in San Antonio or Corpus, the last legacy that went down there, and that was all pro. Yeah, it was in San Antonio at the AT&T Center. And so, I mean, that's nothing new to them to throw an amateur event or a big event at a, you know, 50,000-head arena or whatever. Can't wait to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. That's the thing, though. I mean, fuck, it's beautiful. I mean, look, we're watching from Nicaragua. We got some buddies going down to Panama. We've got great guys that we all know that are fighting over in Hawaii, Russia. We got some pros we know that are fighting in Europe. I mean, I just did a big article with Kali from Evolution Fighting Championships, the president of that league in Egypt, and what they're planning on doing with bringing some more Americans to their cards for the main events. Right now, if you're a good fighter who knows how to show up every week and train his ass off, be professional, make weight, and you have a good management team, dude, it's time to travel, motherfuckers. Doors are opening everywhere.
Yeah, I think it'd be good for a lot of American fighters to go out of the States, honestly. I think it's easy wins, honestly. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, downgrade any other countries, but, I mean, our wrestling over here is nasty, and it seems like anytime we go outside of the country, we just out-wrestle them and kill them. I mean, and that's the truth. Anytime you come here, it's just like, you know, all the pride guys and Japanese guys that come over here, they get out-wrestled like crazy, and it's something that it's hard to grasp, but, I mean, they get out-wrestled all the time.
Well, and it's funny you say that. Something I talked to Khalid about is the growth of the sport in his country. And, you know, when we were talking, one of the things he said is, you know, we started with kickboxing here. That's, you know, that was our base, you know, not wrestling, not judo, not BJJ, but kickboxing. And now you have these guys who are merging into MMA in the last couple of years, and literally, like them, Tunisia, and a few of those other places, you're talking 3-4 years MMA's been there. That's it. So we've got to give them time to implement the Western-style wrestling into their game, because anybody out there disagrees with me, fuck you, because Western wrestling is what is taking over MMA, and I'll add to that what is making it a shit fucking sport to watch with all these fags point fighting. You take a motherfucker down, beat his ass, beat him, finish him. Don't sit on top of him and dry hump him and tell him how much you love him in his ear. Finish him. that's the problem, dude. Look, kickboxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, combat sambo, these are sports, boxing, where you are trained to finish somebody, to tap them, to knock them out. Wrestling, what are you trained to do from day one? Points fight. And it's, and look, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to even lie and say that some of the best fighters today aren't phenomenal wrestlers. Dude, it'd be stupid for me to say that's not true. But I'll tell you what, a lot of the fighters that have come out of the NCAA wrestling system into MMA have slowed the sport down, have brought the amount of finishes down, and have brought up the amount of decision wins. And these guys will go two rounds.
Oh, sorry.
These guys will go two fucking rounds and then sit the third round holding you down to win on points. And I'm not a fan of that. If you can't finish that guy, then what are you doing? Why are you trying to, you know, point fight? Go for the finish. You know, and I understand people are like, oh, man, I don't want to put myself at risk. Or why? You're there to win.
And man, you see a lot of real accredited wrestlers now going, they're using their hands a lot, and they're actually getting pretty impressive, like Cormier.
Once again, that wrestling base, they're having to pick up the striking, whereas the strikers are having to pick up the wrestling base, which I could be wrong, and Jeff, if I'm wrong, I want you to be the first one to tell me I'm a fucking schmuck, but is it? Would you not agree that a straight-up striker would be harder to teach wrestling than a wrestler striker?
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Because let's be honest, basic striking, if you can't count the fucking 10, you're never going to learn it. It's a simple system. It's a 2-3-7, a 2-4-2, a 1-5-9. You know, I mean, it's a number system that is a repetitive system. Well, you know, whatever. I'm just spitting out numbers.
Those are some fucked up combinations you're spitting out, but yeah.
I just threw out the fucking numbers, dude. What can I say? I've been up for like 40 hours. I'm completely fucking hallucinating, trashed. And, yeah. But my point being, you could teach a wrestler how to strike good enough to control when he wants to take somebody down versus taking a striker and trying to teach him the wrestling game, and to be able to compete on the ground.
Definitely. Yeah, there's not even a comparison in my book. The wrestler didn't even have bad habits yet. The hand, it's like starting with a completely fresh thing. So, yeah, you're exactly right. So you're not a complete fucking schmuck dumbass or whatever you told me to call you if you were. You're not.
Oh, that's arguable.
Just, well, about
that's
this.
That's arguable.
Give him a few minutes and he will be.
Hey, we got 2.5 hours for me to fuck up enough. And I got to give a big shout out to LaPonzi. What's his name? LaPussy? LaPussy.
LaPussy to sleep in the chair?
I do. I guarantee that fucking Como is sleeping.
Yep.
Snoring away.
Yep.
And he's going to wake up with like 5 minutes left and be like, oh, dude, the vape pen kicked my ass. Why didn't you guys fucking wake me up? I'll be like, I cannot call your mom's house that late. He told me after 8 o'clock we're not allowed to call your mom's house.
Yeah, especially with his dad home.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand what it's like. No, I don't. Nobody understands what it's like to be 40 and still live with your mom other than Lepaki. That's right.
There must be somebody. There was a movie. Wasn't there a movie? There was somebody? But that wasn't real.
That the 40-year-old virgin was Lepaki's autobiography.
Yeah. So that was the 40-year-old hoe. 40-year-old male whore.
Oh, dude, you know his bite is way bigger than his bark, dude, or whatever that saying goes. Bark's way bigger than his bite. I guarantee you, all the times he tells us, I'm going to the pool hall, getting leg, man, I'm beating the girls off with a stick. He's probably got the fattest, ugliest chick at the bar everyone throws pretzels at by the end of the night, being like, baby, I love you. Let's go home. So
too much ego for that. He's just paying for it. That's what I think. He's just paying for it.
See, I don't think he's got the balls to go pay for it. I I think, you know, he'd pull up next to a hooker and be like, I'm pull off.
He would pull up to the first hooker and probably get arrested immediately. Boom.
So
he
pulled up the first hooker and finished the
thing off
the car. Dude, I can still see it now.
He'd be wearing his fucking Madhouse shirt on cops and shit. Yo, man, look, bro, I'm on cops, man. Look at the Madhouse. Represent on Fox, bro.
I'm Fox. Dude,
he'd be screaming Illuminati.
The Illuminati set me up. They told me that pussy was the way to happiness. Yeah. Oh, dude. Speaking of Illuminati, we should all, like, we should start prank calling his ass some crazy government numbers.
I'm calling him right
you
now.
You know, I've got one of those apps where you can change your phone number to whatever you want. We should start using that and calling him from, like, the FBI and shit. Really fuck with his head.
Well, now that he's going to hear the show, you kind of fucked that up. But it would have been a good idea if you didn't tell him.
You know what would have been a better idea is to have somebody call up from that number and be like, you know, I'm a federal agent. I understand you sold some ammunition without a license.
Wake up, you lazy fuck.
It's the voltage.
I just left my message.
Oh, dude, let's call him live on the air. He hates that.
I left him a message and he didn't answer, so I just left that message to wake up, young man, or something like that.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's pull up his number, and we're going to read it out loud for everybody out there. So get your pen and paper ready. So that you guys can call him day or night and find out what he is up to. The fans should know. So let's pull up his phone number, and we're going to dial it live, and we're going to call it out live for everybody. The phone number is 918-269-5014. That is the call-in number. Call to win free shit right now.
Nice.
Hey, I've got something perfect signed up, too, if he doesn't answer. Okay.
Fucking bozo.
That's all right. Just leave a message. All right, this is a free clinic calling.
This is Rob. Leave a message. I'll call you back.
You are a useless twat compared to someone who serves delicious chicken bacon and Swiss sandwiches.
Word.
Oh, shit. He's going to be checking his messages tomorrow. I'm like, what the fuck, guys? Oh, man. Dude, Mayorga's coming up, dude, and I'm sorry, dude. I know you guys out there, a lot of you true professionals are probably going to think I'm a jackass for it, but, dude, I'm a smoker, 2 packs a day. That's pimp homeboy's walking to the ring with a cigarette in his mouth. You would never
I don't
that
stupid.
I think it was a joint, dude. I don't think it was a cigarette. I think it was a joint, honestly.
Well, it didn't look like a cigarette. It looked like something hand-rolled, but... I'm just assuming it was a cigarette. If it was a joint, that's even cooler.
Well, I mean, I would say it's probably a little bit healthier for him to be smoking a fucking joint on the way in instead of a cigarette. He might last a little longer.
That's just gangster tough, dude. He's like, dude, I'll whip your ass. I can smoke a cigarette, walk into the ring and do it.
Well, it's not the first time I've seen it. You know, I see it every week.
And hillbillies.
No, it's just smoke and then go right into the fight. I'm like, yo, you guys are nuts, man. You guys are fucking nuts. My own person. Whatever his name is. Timper? Timper, is that his name? Can't read Spanish, bro. I'm just playing.
It's Wesley Timper versus Mayorga. T-I-F-F-E-R.
Timper.
Tiffer.
Tiffer.
Tiffer. Okay, here we go.
So should we do some live play-by-play? Is that what we should be doing right here?
For all the folks who aren't watching?
They're now walking into the cage with an entourage of about 52 Mexicans.
The whole burrito.
They all came out of one car, and here they come. They are mobbing deep. He has his Beats by Chingo Bling headset on. Let's do this.
I would like to state that all opinions stated on this show are that of the Rogue Show. dude, straight up, though, this is going to be interesting because, I mean, let's be honest. Mayorga is a good fighter in the boxing ring. It's going to be interesting. Supposedly, he's got some wonderful, wonderful striking with the legs. I mean, I'm really curious. He's not fighting a pushover easily. Wesley Tilford is a tough guy for him to be facing for his first fight. So this could be a big deal, you know, if he loses, you know, his first fight.
Well, let's just say I don't think he's taking it that seriously if he's backstage smoking a cigarette. I'm just going to be honest here. And and if this guy stands up with him, it's not smart. You know what I'm saying? It's not smart at all. He should immediately go for the takedown. You don't want to look like Ray Mercer versus Tim Sylvia. I'm just saying. You don't want to look like that. And I'm not saying that... you know, he has the power like that, but he'll get pieced up on the feet, I think, if he stands
all day.
All day. We'll see what happens. I mean, 4-ounce gloves, I don't know, man.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, we talk about this all the time. You guys, everybody on this panel knows fighters, interviews fighters, hangs out with fighters. And, dude, a boxing game is completely different than an MMA game. You know, an MMA striker... like, you know, Diaz is able to bring that base of boxing into it and work it into his game, where then you have the opposite, KJ Nunes, who is more of a boxer in there than an MMA fighter, and it hurts him.
Well, I want to ask this, you know, as far as amateurs go, do you think before a fighter goes pro, that he should do boxing, at least dabble in it a little bit, and kickboxing as an amateur before he goes pro?
Yeah. He's not stupid.
I think that amateurs should try to get into as many ground tournaments, you know, grappling, freestyle wrestling, BJJ, whatever, you know, and as well as get into some kickboxing or Thai, you know, events or tournaments as well as boxing. I mean, look, today's mixed martial artist that is being bred, guys, you know, like Jeff, you interviewed a couple weeks ago on Sunday Night Breakdown, you know, you've got these young kids that now at age 10, 11, 12, 13 have 6, 7, 8, 9 years of training. And they're not just training one sport. They're training 3, 4, 5 different disciplines. I mean, if you don't get your fucking ass out there and try to learn some shit, hit grappler's quests, hit some amateur tie events, you're going to be left in the fucking dust.
Oh, dude, the future of these young kids that are doing this like Jacob Brown, man, it's, dude, I don't know, man, it's going to be on a whole another level when those guys are ready to go pro and fight in the UFC. I mean, look at his age and what he's already done, dude, that's just incredible. Much props. I mean, it's crazy, man. I haven't done the shit he's done, and I'm 27 years old. You know?
There's a lot more than him, too. There's a lot of kids out there. Since picking him up and Ben and Ethan, they've come out of the woodwork suddenly. And there's a lot of kids like that. They've done a better job of marketing him and getting him out in the public, but there's some crazy kids, just unbelievable.
You mentioned a kid just then in your statement, Jeff, and Trey, I don't know how much you know about him or even you, Chris, but we talk about these amateur kids coming up, and I'm going to tell you there's one kid right now that I believe won't get burnt out, that will not second-guess himself in the career choice he's made, and will make himself a UFC champion, and that's Ben Babcock, man, the Tiger. That kid's the fucking real deal. Bedback. Yeah.
He is a fucking monster. World champion now. World champion.
Yep.
Naga world champion. Number one ranked in the country, and now the world champion. In gi and no gi. It's like watching a video game. It's insane. Just, he just does whatever. The other person's all frantic and freaking out, trying to muscle and get stuff, and he's just so calm, just like swimming through a little maze, and it's so impressive.
All right, here we go. Here we go, Mayorga is walking through the ring with 13 ring girls holding 13 different belts. The crowd is trying to mob him. I think he's going to be getting nuts after this fight. That crowd looks crazy. Dude, I think they just doubled in by 500 people at least. You notice that, Skippy? Like, there was barely anyone out there at first, and now there's just a whole shitload of people.
Oh, dude, yeah, the crowd, tripled. No bullshit. You're like, when they were walking in before, they're coming out of a tunnel into the stadium, because this is an outdoor event, folks. And when they were coming up through the stadium before, there was maybe 150 people lined on the sides. There's got to be 600-700 lined on the sides now. And how many girls with belts does he fucking have? Holy shit.
I counted.
You were joking.
There was 12. I counted 12.
Dude, that's how you come to the fucking ring and fucking represent, dude. I'll carry every belt I've ever won to the ring, bitches.
I wonder how much extra luggage he had to pay for just to get those on there.
Right, dude?
I need 6 extra suitcases. Yo, my belts have their own entourage. That's fucked up. When your belts have an entourage, if you were a boxer, you better take this dude down. Holy shit. Let's see. He looks out of shape. Let's see what happens. Out of shape or not, that dude has some power.
Did he just do a line of coke off that girl's ass?
I seen it.
Oh, my God. What goes down there, man?
Look at all those belts, bro.
It's insane.
Oh, my God. Is that did you see the sore? Okay. Did you see the sore on that girl's face, yo? Dude, only in Nicaragua, bro. Jesus.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I beat him. I fucking get to pick which title I want to take.
Well, I would take all 12. I would say, look, you know, you brought all 12 to the cage with you. Those are all mine. Those are all mine.
Dude, what's he doing? He's talking shit.
Wow. He said, yo, you're mine, bro.
Dude,
look at Brian Green. Brian Green's like, I will fuck this dude up. Like, I stood up with Kimbo for 3 rounds. I will fuck Mayorga up. I know that's what he's thinking in his head, too, because that's just Brian Green's mentality.
How come there's 4 officials in there? For every other fight, there's only been 1.
This shit is serious.
Folks,
this shit is
going down right now. GoFightLive.tv. Get over there. Get some. This shit's legit, man. It's time, man. The Matador is coming.
Are they sponsored by World Series of Fighting, or what is going on, man? Everyone is wearing World Series of Fighting. Stop everywhere.
Dude, these guys are talking shit. Yes!
Wow.
Every single official, the ring mat, everything's World Series of Fighting. These guys are talking shit at the fucking face.
Mayorga's not talking shit. He's just over there shaking his finger like, nah. No, young
well,
man.
He came in talking shit.
He's
he
doing
came
the
in
shuffle.
Talking shit. And then homeboy came across the ring and talked shit in his own corner.
Wow.
Guys, we got a fight here, man. This ain't no bullshit.
MMA World Series of Fighting in Nicaragua.
dude, that's
guys,
no bullshit.
If you guys are watching, everyone has an MMA World Series of Fighting logo on the mat, on the shirts. I mean, it looks like a World Series of Fighting event, except for in Nicaragua.
Look at that, dude. The referee's in between them already, dude. He's having to hold them back, Jeff. Time to give the beginning announcements. He's having to hold him back.
Be a 2-minute fight. 2 minutes
or
less.
Look at Brian Green. Is he mad dogging? Look at Brian.
Dude, he's mad dogging him, dude. Look at this. Folks, the referee is mad dogging Mayorga in the middle of the ring, dude. This is going to be a brawl. Look at that.
Hey, let me say this. Brian Green will whoop both those dudes' asses at the same time. I'll give him that. He'll whoop both them dudes' asses.
Jeff, these guys aren't 7 feet apart from each other to start.
I'm watching.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here we go, folks.
All right, come on, Mr.
Mr. Eager running across until it starts and not just going to just stand there?
Yeah,
what's
I know. Mayorga took the center of the ring, folks, and it looks like he's getting pushed off it a little bit, but he's going to control it. Oh, he's coming in. Took a leg kick, pushed it off, threw some nice punches, backed homeboy up against the fence. Oh, don't drop your head like that.
Mayorga takes it down,
and he's in a side choke position.
He went for the takedown and took himself down. It was a horrible landing.
Dude, did you see him drop his head on that fucking leg kick? That's a no-no. You get to knock
him
out doing shit like that. Yeah. Now, here's the question is how strong is his ground game? Because he's set up for a side choke.
He's not going to get the cheap match because he moved away. He wasn't going to get the choke because the cage is there, but Mayorga just moved the other way. So choke's gone.
Fucking got him. This guy had Wesley Cook
got
a full mount.
He's not doing anything with it, and he probably won't. Oh, he's not. He's not going to do anything. It's just he needs to posture up. What is he doing?
This ain't boxing cardio. He's hurting him having a grown man on his chest hold him down.
Stand it up.
Yeah, they don't advance the position or try to do something. Oh, dude, are you shitting me? Look at that. He's pulling his arm behind his back.
Wow, yeah, you know what? If he kept it going, dude, that would be sick.
He can reverse it off.
He's
going to pull that arm. He's going to pull that arm and pop it.
And roll him. Folks, he has got Wesley Tilfer's arm locked behind his back. It looks like he's going for a Kimura behind the back.
I think he's going for a, you're not going to hit me in the face with this hand.
and the referee should have definitely, I mean, they're not really doing anything. They've been there for a while. The referees haven't stood any fights up. Mainly it's probably because no matter what's going on, whether it's boring or not, the Spanish announcers make this shit exciting.
If you're in mount and you get stood up, you're fucking
Dude, look at that. Mayorga reverses it. Now he's in guard on top.
Oh, he got reversed by a chubby kid.
Pretty chubby.
Trying to get that leg up over the top. Wesley Silver's trying real hard to go for a triangle.
What are you doing?
Armbar, no. He's out. Mayorga's out.
Why don't you just back up?
Somebody's been moisturizing.
You know what? I'm going to say right now, his punches.
Dude, he just got taken down. What the fuck? All he had to do was push off and stand up.
You know what? Mayorga has nothing. Mayorga has nothing at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like
brute strength.
A amateur fighter.
Hey, he had brute strength to pull that guy's fucking arm behind him and hold it back there like that with his fucking mouth.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything. I mean, it's embarrassing, honestly. Yeah, I mean, he's got a full mounted.
Teabag.
Yeah, he's got the high mount. He's got the porno mount right now. It's what I like to tell my wife. Would you like some balls on your chin?
Oh, if he had any clue what he's doing, he'd go right out the back door. Go out the back door, you dumbass. Wow. Great corner.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Okay, now he's eating a couple of punches. Nothing serious. Oh, he's throwing from the bottom.
Oh. Mayorga Mayorga, when he had him stacked earlier, should have just backed up and got out of there.
I agree 100%.
You guys, man, I swear to God.
Wow. Is this pros?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, we've already talked about that.
this totally speaks to your wrestling comment, Chris, that the wrestling's not the same because this is bad wrestling.
Oh, it's been like that all night. That's the one reason I said it. And no one's really been able to finish a fight. They don't have no solid jiu-jitsu or anything. Stand up, bud. I mean, you're still in the fight. Stand up. Go to your corner. Elephant's on TV now.
Let's do the ring girls.
So, I mean, Mayorga looks horrible, in all honesty. And we smoking a cigarette? Come on.
They both look horrible.
Yeah, that just shows how serious he is. I'd fight Mayorga right now. I'd say, fuck it, let's do it.
He'd knock you the fuck out so fast.
Well,
dude, I don't know. I'd crotch him.
I don't know. Maybe I would just run from him for a whole round, and then he would just gas out the second round I'd win. Just trying to gas out.
You can't run for a whole round. You haven't even fought a whole round yet, have you?
Yeah, I fought a decision.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You have been through 9 minutes of hell.
That's a long-ass time, dude. after the fight, I was like, you know what? Every fight I've been in through high school, you know, growing up, fuck, I don't even think I could fit it in 9 minutes, you know? And I was just thinking, damn, that was a long time. I mean, I was boring, but I mean, I didn't really gas out. I controlled the fight. I didn't get hit in the face, and I won. I was cool with that.
You didn't get hit in the face? You didn't get hit in the face the whole fight?
I don't know. I think I did maybe once. I didn't feel it. Sure. I was like, yep.
Pissed. Should have been pissed off.
Hey, I was happy.
Mayorga needs to stay back, work that center of the ring, start jabbing up on homeboy.
Come on, tough guy.
He's over there calling like, yo, come over here, bro. Come on, man. I'm a smoker. I don't want to chase after you, bro. Come on. Come to me. Hey, look.
Oh!
He didn't even hit him.
Dude, look at my RJ. He's like, get up off the fucking canvas, boy.
Punch rocked him, too.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He's calling him.
He needs to get on that motherfucker right now. He needs to quit playing this game, talking shit. Homeboy's going to take him back down and win this fight. Mayorga needs to finish him standing up.
He already went for a takedown, honestly. I'm standing. He's right after him. Oh, it's over right here. Watch this.
Do something, man. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're just staring.
Look at his corners. His corners screaming at him, to fucking pointing down at his legs, like, fucking take him down. What are you doing?
Left hook. Left
hook.
Oh.
There he goes.
It's not there. There you go.
Throws the underhooks, grabs the underhooks, throws him into the cage.
Here comes his slam.
Mayorga's got some fucking raw strength, folks.
Or is it just a good line? He's
talking to the referee,
dude.
He's like, I got time to talk.
Some packing cartons of cigarettes around.
Great. Oh, look at this, dude. I mean, he is stopping this kid's takedown. Oh, dude, that's what I'm talking about. Some body shot. Oh. Dude.
Look at Kevin. Kevin Randleman is out. Hey. Kevin Randleman is outside of the cage right now going nuts.
I see it. Oh,
that's Kevin.
Oh, is the Mayorga got a choke in?
Yep.
No, he does.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's an arm and guillotine.
Oh,
but
got it. Arm and guillotine.
Push off his head.
You don't know what to do.
Do it.
Oh,
ooh, see,
dude, look at that. Oh, he is cranking the fuck down on his neck.
His elbow,
oh, he threw the thumbs up, folks.
He's fine.
Dude, Wesley Tipper just threw the thumbs up saying he's completely all right, even though his neck looks like it's stretched out like a chicken about to get killed.
<It's> like he's burning himself out. He's going to have nothing on that arm when he lets go.
Look at how sweaty he is. Look how sweaty they are, too, man. That kid, and the black mat, you know, outside, the humidity there is probably, you know, I bet that thing is slick as shit, too.
Wow.
Start to the body chest. There you go, the ribcage, man. Just start dropping them. Don't stop. Earn points while you're on the bottom, dude. Oh, there he goes. Grab that arm again and roll him up. Shit, he lost it. You can tell, obviously, from the first round to this round that things have gotten sweatier.
Wow. Is there anything better to watch? I'm just joking.
Hey, actually, speaking of... fucking fights. Dude, I gotta say, I'm a little bummed that we're not gonna get to see Torres's debut until it's on demand, unless I can find another fucking link for it.
I wasn't gonna get to see it anyways.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be working, huh?
Yep. We'll be in the cage with somebody else.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was really, really bummed when I saw that change, because the CSC 36 kickboxing championship card, you know, I really wanted to see her, what she's going to do against that girl, because that girl is pretty tough.
Yeah, that's a good test.
Hey, oh, he rolled out. He rolled out.
He's going for an armbar, folks. Oh, he's going for an armbar
now. He goes in. No, it's not. Put your fucking...
Oh, he's going to, dude, belly down, he's done. It's over. Dude, he ain't getting out of no fucking belly down armbar. If he does, that kid's
sure
done.
Sure he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is getting out. You don't got it.
Oh! Knee to the spine! Knee to the spine! Oh! Dude, he fucking jacked him in the spine, dude.
That's so illegal.
Oh, boy's on the ground rolling in pain, folks.
Wow.
Fucking spine shot. Wow.
People aren't throwing water bottles. Wow.
Dude, he's all celebrating like he won and shit. Did he win? Hold on, I gotta turn this up, folks.
No way.
Smoke another cigarette. Look, he goes straight to a commercial.
Ooh, look at that. Roast your polo. All you can eat buffet, $4.99. Pepsi.
Yo, we got to have Brian Green on. I wonder if he's going to be out of there. Yo. I'm going to try to call him or something.
Oh, guys, look. Douche. It's a commercial for Douche. Dude, he's playing it up, dude. Look at him. He's fucking playing it up.
Not necessarily, dude.
Yeah,
you see,
that
right
was,
when that knee landed,
that
he was hurt.
Good.
That's
yeah,
not playing up.
Oh, what's he getting in a fight? Who's he? Why is he arguing with that guy?
Because that dude has muscles and fucking. You know how those guys are. Yo, get over here! Get over here, man! I told you to get your ass over here.
Let's see what they have to say. Okay, here's the replay, folks. He hikes up with the fucking knee and just drills it, looks like into the spine. But the referee didn't stop it.
He hadn't done it yet.
Oh, he wasn't watching. He wasn't looking there. He's looking underneath the arm.
So why is he stopping it now other than for the TKO?
Well, he must have realized what happened or something.
Was this the end of the round?
No, I don't think so. No more.
They're waving it off.
It's too hurt.
They're going to call it a TKO win.
Better not.
They just did. He dropped his knees to thank God. That's a TKO win, folks. From the spinal cord shot.
It
was a bullshit win.
Dude.
I think his corner should go over and just lay him out.
White
shirt. Just let him have one. Do the fake, like the fake glove touch, do the fake handshake, and just reach for his hand and then just wham!
I wonder if,
right down the pipe.
I wonder if Brian is throwing off his referee so he could call out Mayorga. He was mad dogging us the whole time. He's standing in the side.
Hold on.
We're
calling it a TKO win.
I mean, what they need to do is, look, I think he was, I don't know, it looked like he was.
Hold on. This shit looks like it's about to pop off. They carried a stretcher back out. He's pissed.
Yeah, of course he's pissed. He was kicking Baker's ass.
Wow. Yeah, that's fucked up.
That
was horrible.
Ya estamos esperando el fallo oficial, finalmente tocado de Ricardo Mayorga, nuestro técnico. En el segundo asalto vemos al matador celebrando, unos aplausos.
See, and the worst thing is, the guys over there hurt this douchebag standing up, you know, celebrating. I don't know, man. No respect.
Celebrando también la victoria.
Yep. The real teammate would go lay him out.
A real teammate would go lay him out.
Yep. Somebody clowned on my teammate like that.
See this guy in the San Diego Chargers jersey just show up out of nowhere and start taking pictures in the ring? Look at that.
So unprofessional, bro.
You see, hey, does anybody here see a Paul Daly, Josh Koscheck incident coming up?
I think so. I would love it. Look at that. Look at that big guy. That big guy is just trying to get in some shit. Yo. Yo. Relax, bro.
Jason, are you live with us?
I don't think he's there. Did you finally take me out of queue?
Yeah, you're out of queue.
I thought I was still in queue, bro.
No, you've been live the whole time we've been talking. Hold on, here we go. They gave him a TKO round, still win.
Horrible.
I think
they call that a win by knee to the spine. TKO, knee to the spine.
That was
like last year when they had the best the year end awards where they had the best sponsor, all that shit, and they had best knockout in an amateur fight, and it was a knee to the head. Those aren't allowed, but it was one of them that you could vote on was a knee to the head from Brent Knopp on I don't remember who it was, but pretty funny.
Wow.
I mean, when did this happen?
You knew that was going to happen. You knew Mayorga was going to win. I mean, somehow.
Wow.
This is just... Wow. I don't even want to talk about this guy no more. That's how horrible this guy was as a fighter.
Just a puncher. Just punch us hard and there's nothing else.
Does he really? Because it didn't even look like he fucking was punching very hard.
Well, he was definitely, that was the only thing he was scared of. The other guy was back from, when you throw those punches, he was, he was stepping back. That's what was knocking back against the ropes. Whoa.
What event are you guys watching?
Right now, knee to the face. Kick him in the balls.
We've been watching the Omega MMA, Battle for the Americas, Mayorga versus Wesley Tiffer for Ricardo El Matador Mayorga's MMA pro debut. I mean, this motherfucker was straight up smoking cigarettes on the way to the cage or joints, we don't know which. And, dude, literally, It was an interesting fight to watch, but he finished it off with an illegal spine shot with a knee and a TKO poundage, and the ref didn't catch the knee, called it a TKO.
He was stuck. He was being armbarred, Jason, and belly down armbarred, and he took his outside leg and just knee right in the middle of his spine, wicked hard.
You know who wanted a piece of Mayorga, bro, and then it fell apart, man, with him, along with some other nonsense that all happened? Couple of years ago, bro, Dean Thomas. Dude, that's still like one of the highest rated clips when they were at a press conference in New York and Mayorga blew smoke right in his face. I don't know if you've seen that clip or not, but it's on YouTube, bro. Dean shoved him and like five guys had to grab him because he was ready to fight right there at the press conference.
Dean would kill this guy.
Oh, fuck yes. After watching him fight, Dean would fucking rape him in the middle of the ring and make his family watch.
Okay. And maybe Dean would do to him, follow Lapaki's sex tutoral and freaking take his back and freaking beat his ass.
I think that's where he is now, is in his tutorial class.
Hey, everybody, I'm going to pay a quick commercial break. It's probably one of the coolest commercials we've ever had on this show. And for everybody out there, it will help you guys figure out where to go to buy the best custom mouth guards in the world. We'll be back in 59 seconds. Bitches!
All odds to the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the Psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Okay, folks, thank you for checking us out. I will like to thank all my sponsors, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, first and foremost. I love you guys. I want you guys to get for us in the community. Also, Clock Tower Pub. Guys, get fucked up down there with me and the boys anytime. Also, Ink Tank Tattoo and Vicious Glass Shop and Vicious Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution. Trey, dude, are you on Twitter right now?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you the GIF so you can see that knee at the end. Jason, I just sent it to you. So I'll send it to you on Facebook, Trey.
Nice. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, dude, it's a perfect GIF, dude. Shows the knee really well so that you know what we're talking about. And for all the fans out there, I will post that same GIF right now on MMA Madhouse Facebook page. If you guys don't know about it, I can figure it out. It's super easy to find.
Hey, I wonder who's did Zombie Prophet get the GIF out already?
That's who did it.
Dude, the fastest dude in MMA. I mean, that dude is quick, man. He's on it.
Dude, he is. Big shout out to him. Also, big shout out to Go Fight Live TV. These fuckers always killing it, bringing the best MMA from around the world to you on a pay-per-view platform, because when you buy it once, you own it for life. That means on-demand, day or night, phone, laptop, tablet. It don't matter. Do it. Get it. Be about it. Oh, that was a great night of fights. Had smash fights to start the night, dude. Bam.
I think more promoters in my area really need to contact Go Fight Live for sure, man, because there's so much talent that is, like, unseen and unheard of over here. I mean, Show Fight, you know, obviously they have Go Fight Live, so everybody knows, you know, all the fighters there. I think a lot more promoters really need to check them out and at least look into it.
Promoters should do it because it will make guys want to fight on their card.
Exactly.
Yeah, because then you get idiots like us talking about you with guys from around the world.
in different media outlets and promotions and management companies and other fighters, and your name gets out there even more. And, you know, speaking of names getting out there, I'd like to talk about Luis Sapo Santos tonight. He won TKO over Sebastian Latorre in 22 seconds, folks.
Well, that's nice. He should fight Dave Corshane next.
I agree. I think that would be a great fight.
What is this other fight that you're talking about, 22 seconds with Sapo? That happened tonight?
Yep.
Yeah, third.
Yep.
Really? Just fought like a week ago.
He fought down in Brazil, somewhere in South America, for a smash fight. I believe it was in Brazil or Argentina. I could be wrong on the Argentina.
I was not aware of that. And I knew that he fought. He finished Shamar Bailey pretty quickly a week or two ago.
Yep, and that's why I'm saying right now, for all you fans out there, let's do a big media push, man. Who wants to see Crochet beat up Sapo?
I'm going to say this. That's very, very realistic to happen, that opportunity for Dave Crochet. And I'll leave it at that. That's very realistic.
That's what we want to hear, brother.
Have you talked to Dave?
I spoke to him earlier this evening.
Good. Cool.
Hey, Jared, that's for you, Mr. Torgensen, if you're listening up, buddy.
He was going to catch some kind of movie or something with Cody McKenzie tonight.
With mandates.
Oh,
give me a break.
They're going to go see the new Iron Man.
Isn't that sweet?
You know what I think is sweet is that Marlon Wayans followed Lapaki in the sex tutorial, bro. I didn't know Lapaki had it in him.
That was classic.
Dude, that whole movie is hilarious. I finished watching it before I called in, man. I tell you what, folks, if you're a fan of Marlon Wayans and want to laugh at something that's kind of retarded but funny at the same time, go rent Haunted House. It was nonstop laughter.
Is that new, spoof movie?
It's said because he got pissed when they made another scary movie. He's like, all right, I'll go make my own shit. And he went and made Haunted House. And it's nonstop laughing, bro. I don't know the actor's name, but I can tell you another movie role he played. Do you remember Just Go With It with Adam Sandler?
No.
With Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston? It was a couple years ago, bro. It came out like a year ago. The guy that played his brother, he's in all of Adam Sandler's movies. He was in That's My Boy. He was this weird guy in the strip club. With the mullet. Looked like a Joe Dirt. He's in all of Adam Sandler's movies.
Ooh.
Well, he's in that one.
He did the same crew.
But yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen the bench warmers a time or two with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the guy that was afraid of the sunlight that would never come out the closet? That guy. The one that played Bucky Larson.
Dude, the one Terry, the jack-off guy from the taco shop. You guys all got real fucking quiet there.
From now on, Reno.
Yes. Thank you, Trey. Now I don't feel so fucked up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Everybody got real quiet.
Nick Swartzen.
Fuck. Yes.
Nick Swartzen.
Yeah, he's in it. I can't think of the other movies this other guy's been in. That was the Ghostbusters. They called him Ghost something. Their own reality show. Filmed it. But he was in... How many of y'all seen a good old fashioned orgy?
Oh shit!
He was in that movie as well. I mean, it's one of the ways to put together a good group of people that are funny as shit, and it's funny nonstop. So, if you ain't seen it, go watch it. And if you're wondering about his little sex moment, you learned that from the podcast.
Hey, so what is that good story you were going to tell about? You were going to tell about him. Is he in here?
Tell him about it. What?
Gip said he had a good story about Lapaki since if he didn't show up.
I ain't got no good story about Lapaki other than, you know, he taught Marlon to put out a sex tutorial for Marlon Wayans, and it's circulating on the internet right now.
No, man, at the beginning of the show, Skip said if he didn't answer, he was going to tell an embarrassing story about him.
Skip, are you going to tell an embarrassing story about Lapaki? Being quiet.
Skip on coffee break or what?
Who knows where Skip
okay,
went, man? That dude's missing in action all the time.
No, I jumped into queue real quick because we have a caller, and actually... he's got an event tomorrow that Madhouse will be at live, covering it for live results, and that will be Young Guns 7. Mr. Bart Smith, how are you tonight?
What's up, fellas? I'm doing great, man. Just had weigh-ins. Looking forward to Northwest Fighting 7th Pro Show Young Guns in Usk, Washington.
Yeah, we're excited to be there. Everybody make weight?
No. No, they didn't. Josh Houston was supposed to fight at 185 with George Mendes, and he couldn't get any lower than 189. George decided not to take the fight, so instead of giving up 3 pounds, Josh is going to fight a heavyweight. He doesn't care. He just wants to fight. So we're getting him in there with a replacement. The name of Austin Burgess. These guys have trained together a little bit. There's a little bit of history, a little storyline there, so it should be fun.
So that was. I bet everybody else besides them made weight then?
Yep, everybody else was fine. You know, everybody thought George would take the fight. Josh cut really hard. He said he dropped 13 pounds in the sauna, and he just hit the wall, you know, and ran out of time. So he showed up for weigh-ins as low as he could be. But... George didn't want to give up 3 pounds. We respect that. He went home, and we found a replacement. So we've got Josh Houston versus Austin Burgess in the first pro fight. In our second pro fight, it's going to be Solomon Jones versus Daniel Zarate. Both are longtime amateurs from Spokane making their pro debuts. And then we've got a great amateur undercard, including 9-0 Christian Nybarger from BJJ Spokane. He's my nephew and the toughest little squirt you ever saw. It's going to be a fun night. It should be a good card.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely looking excited, and we appreciate that you are having Madhouse there to do live results for all the fans who couldn't make it or fans and family outside the region to be able to follow their favorite fighters.
Heck yeah.
Consistently, you know, consistently put on some good cards. Again, you're back with this. One of the fans wanted to know, was that a pro fight that didn't make weight?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm curious. Do you do like most organizations? Is it penalized and goes to the opponent?
Yeah, we offered him 20%, and he still wasn't interested. I don't know. I don't know if he was. I can't imagine why someone wouldn't take that fight with 3 pounds. He may have good reasons for going home, but for three pounds, I would think that most guys would say, yeah, what the hell, let's do it anyway, especially since you get 20% of the other guys' money.
Yeah.
I'm not a fighter. The heavyweight replacing you guys, is he a bigger heavyweight or a small heavyweight? I mean,
he's 225. He would be a light heavyweight if he knew he was fighting and
he
cut weight. No, he just found out right after weigh-ins, so... these guys are trained together. There's a little bit of bad blood there, so it should be a fun one. But, you don't get – young pros don't get offers to fight in their, you know, near hometown very often. I thought he would go through with it, but we respect his decision, and the show goes on.
Now, it's funny because
that exact reason right there is why weigh-ins became the day before, for all you folks out there who don't know. Boxing. They had a main event title fight. Guy showed up. He was like 9 pounds over, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to cut the weight. I'll just go home. And they had to cancel and scrap the whole event. I think this was like early to mid-90s, and that's when commission for boxing said, we'll start doing the weigh-ins the day before, for if this problem arises again, we have 24 hours to find a replacement and get him on weight. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just interesting, you know, these guys all, and I'm talking more pro than amateur, because we give amateurs a little bit of leeway sometimes on issues, especially when they're first developing in the sport. But as a pro, that's just straight up disrespectful.
You're right. It was his responsibility to make the weight. He miscalculated his ability to cut that weight. You know, maybe should have started his weight cut a little sooner or been a little smarter. But, you know, but it happens, man. It happens in the UFC and other major organizations. You'd hate to train. If you're serious about the fight, you should make weight. But if you're serious about fighting, you should also look past 3 pounds. That's just my opinion.
So, yes, I got to ask you, we were talking tonight, we've all, the collective group that's on here tonight, we've all been catching some Go Fight Live TV. We were watching the Mayorga fight down in Nicaragua and some other local events around the country in Brazil.
I just saw a clip from that on Facebook.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I just posted it. It was pretty great.
Okay. That's why I called, maybe.
Well, I got to ask you, we see in the future maybe you on a Go Fight Lifestyle platform, you know, producing your events for fans outside the region?
Heck yeah. I'd like to know how to do it. I haven't really heard how that works.
Oh, dude, what we'll do is tonight or tomorrow, as soon as I get a second, I will shoot you the contact info to get a hold of Frank and Tim at GFL. And they can walk you through everything and explain what their services are, what they provide, all that jazz. And you can
build
them
there.
Okay, that'd
be great. I'm already looking towards our next event. I'm hoping I want to do a 145 pro tournament, and it's in keeping with our Young Guns theme. It's going to be mostly pro debut or guys with a couple fights, and some of the fighters that I've talked to who have expressed interest are Joey Becker and R.C. Ingram and George De La Rosa, Sparky Rodriguez, Michael Craig, Brett Boxa, Bubba Farron, and Dylan Morgan. And these guys are all Inland Northwest fighters who have fought several times for us as amateurs. And it's a great, kind of a great platform to start off your pro career. If you they get show pay. And then the winner of the tournament gets a belt and a grand prize for winning the whole tournament. So it's three. That's eight-man tournament, three wins over three events. And that'd be a fun one to start. That'd be a great way, I think, to start on that live fight program you were talking about. Maybe we could arrange that for that show starting in June.
Definitely, definitely. I think that'd be great because, so it's a wonderful organization. Chris in Missouri, he's got a lot of groups out there that are starting to either get onto it or have already been onto it. Show Fight's a great organization that has put a lot of their events on there, which is great, because it opens the eyes, not only to your product and your fighters, but especially the family not in the region that can't make the drive, like let's say, Josh Rittinghouse, let's say his, sister lives in Michigan. She can't drive over, but she could watch it.
Yeah, excellent. But no, Lyle and I fought for a show fight in Missouri, and they had a great show.
There.
Right on. Yeah, that was a cool show. Lyle fought Marcus Aurelio, and they had three or four other UFC veterans on that card. But they're doing mostly amateur shows now, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean they did one pro show, went back to amateur shows, and they were on. Actually, JT was on the show last week and talked about once the commission, does it all pro and am, he's going to do more pro am shows. But
cool.
Right now, you got to pay for the sanctioning body, then you got to pay for the pro sanctioning body, it just makes it a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do a few successful amateur shows to finance a good pro show, I mean that's worth it, you know, and it makes sense to do that.
It's just out here in the Midwest, you know. Honestly, it doesn't matter. You're not going to sell out a whole venue here. It's just not going to work. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. You can promote the hell out of a show, but you're not going to sell out, you know, a 5,000 seat venue here. There's no way. It doesn't matter.
Who you... I mean, that's a trick because. You know, we go to this event in Great Falls, Montana, and they'll have two or three pro fights and a bunch of amateur fights, and they sell 3,000 to 4,000 tickets every time. Great Falls, Montana. I don't think there's a marketing or a promotional guru in the country who can explain that phenomenon.
I tell you what, Brian and them out there at Fight Force have put on a phenomenal product throughout that state and in the different cities. And
it's
I
not
love
Fight
the
Force; it's a different different outfit. It's called Intense Cage Fighting. It's 221 Industries. And
Lloyd. That's where Lloyd Woodard and Dave Crochet fought.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
I was in Dave's corner for that fight. But they packed up. This time they only had one set of bleachers out over on one side, but the first show we went to, they must have had 4,000 people there. I think there's only 4,000 people in Great Falls. I mean, I couldn't believe how they. But they what they did is they promoted a lot of dirt bike and other kind of events over the years, so they've got a pretty good following from that from those events. And then they sold a bunch of sponsor tables, a bunch of VIP seats, but then they sold the bleacher seats for $10, and everybody showed up.
Well, that's sick.
And those people in Montana buy a lot of beer, so they all paid $30 in beer while they're sitting in the $10 seats. But they're making it work. And now they've got a national they had a local or like regional contract with NBC to get it televised. Now they're signing a national deal, and they want to do a USA versus Canada card. So we're going to be involved in that. They love Spokane fighters, and we're hoping. I hope it works. I hope they kill it because they do good shows and they take care of the fighters.
They do. And you know, looking forward to seeing more events from them in the future. Because from all the video I've seen, that was definitely a great event. Obviously, you got to sit ringside for probably the best fight of the night. So.
You know, it's kind of funny. They got tricked into that fight. I'm not going to say tricked, but they were forced into signing that fight. They wanted to sign Sharon Spain to fight Woodard, which was the kind of match that Bellator approves of outside of the organization. But last minute, Sharon pulled out, and they had to use Dave. And I think they, much to their chagrin, they put it on Lloyd pretty good, man. That was an awesome fight.
He did. Well, shit, dude, it's a great weekend of fights. You got some events going on, man. There's events across the United States, Europe. I mean, folks, no matter where you are, you can get out and support some local MMA this weekend. Find an event, whether it's Young Guns, whether it's, you know, a fight out on the West Coast, maybe, you know, CSC. You know, there's so many Roctagons this weekend. Deep from Japan's tomorrow. I mean, folks, there's plenty of MMA to get out and support this weekend. And while you're out there, make sure that you guys support the sponsors and the fighters, man. Go up, get some autographs. Tell the guys you appreciate it. Find the shirts that the companies are selling and buy one. Wear it home, man. You just get out there and support local MMA any way you can.
Did you guys hear about WFC in Sacramento tonight?
Yes.
What was... There's a Northwest fighter in there. Manuel Sanchez fought an undefeated guy. How did that fight end, you know?
I will tell you right now, because I was just looking at you're talking about West Coast Fighting, correct? There's
yes.
An event tonight. Yeah, I just saw some posts earlier on that. I'll tell you right now, because they got him up. Who are we looking for?
You know, I heard Sanchez lost, and that... And I was kind of bummed about that because I was hoping to set him up with Chris Shane in a title fight in one of our upcoming shows. But that would be good to know how it ended.
Let's see. Avila TKO over Chad Smith. Let's see. Big championship. Ryan Williams, first round TKO, or first round KO, sorry. Here we go. Benito Lopez, he won in 61 seconds. They don't have all the fights, but there's no way. I'm not seeing.
Not seeing it?
Let's see, I got Andrews and Griffin, Williams.
I think it was like fifth to last, and he was fighting a 7-0 guy. Sanchez was 4-0. He has a 165 catch weight.
Yeah, it's funny. They've only got five fights up there, and that's not one of them.
Okay. Well, they must be reporting kind of slow.
Yeah. Well, I know that they have the event streaming, so they might have been. Let's see, West Coast Fight 4.
They'll probably update it. They'll probably update it any second. Now, Sanchez fought.
Here we go.
Guns one. Didn't know he's going to be such a stud, but.
Okay, here's the fight card I have. Let's see if they have. Topology might be updated already. I'm going to pull it up right now. Here we go. Let's see. Nope. Yeah, there was 14 fights on this card. Emmanuel Sanchez is fighting Luis Gonzalez.
No result yet?
No result yet on that.
I think I saw a Facebook status from his corner man or something. Just said that he lost graciously but wasn't specific, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just talking the other night on Facebook about the pro events, pro promotions here in Washington. And from what I don't know if you guys know, but there's Joe DiRabbio's events in Snoqualmie, and you've got Brian Halquist, Cage Sport, right? And you've got Tad Bremmer's doing pro shows, Cage Warrior Combat, and I'm doing pro shows here in Spokane area. There's one more in Vancouver, Prime Fighting, right? But the newest promotion doing pro fights.
Yep.
Have there been any other pro events in Washington this year?
I think so. Not 100. Yeah, I won't be able. No, not other than what you mentioned. I don't think other than what you mentioned. But
just those five.
Yeah. Bart, I want to bring somebody else in. We got Brad Imes hanging out with us. Let me bring him live. Brad, how you doing,
dude.
Brother?
I'm good.
Dude, this is
the
heavyweight Go-Go Plata master.
Was that really him?
No, we got it's Brian Imes. Brian Imes is on with us.
Oh, dude, I thought you wrote Brad Imes, dude. I'm sorry. I swear to God, I thought it said Brad on there.
Who is this? Is that Chris Gregory?
Yo,
yes.
What's up, Brian? What's up?
Chris Gregory. I don't know who the other guy is. Let me say something. Y'all just interrupted me at a strip club, which I never go in. I swear to God, I'm a nice Christian boy. But Kevin Kerr drug me to a strip club, and you interrupted me to call me Brad Imes.
Yeah,
I love my brother, and I named my brand after him. But I have fucking served my time, and I have my own credentials. Call me tomorrow, I'll bring you a look at titties. I love you both. Yes, you can. Stop a fucking stranger. It's good for the community.
Yo, hey. Hey, I just want to know, how did Kevin Kroom do tonight, Brian? He hung up on...
Hillbilly Fightwork, folks, check them out, man. And just remember, when you've been up for like 40 hours, watching MMA and kickboxing with no sleep and lots of intoxicants mixed in the studio. Sometimes I make some fucking mistakes. It happens. So everybody, I'd like to thank Brad Imes, Brian Imes, both for hanging out tonight.
Does anybody know who Brian Imes is?
Hillbilly Fightwear.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's he must have had a prepaid
cell phone or something, because he was only with us for about 20 seconds, but it was nice of him to call in.
He was at a strip club.
Touch base.
Yeah, I think their guys went 3-0 tonight, so they're at a strip club, I guess. I've never known Brian Imes to be at the strip club, but that's something new.
Well,
wonder
I'll be
if
honest,
he's back
I will...
in the stripper on the ass.
Hey, we've got us a great strip club sponsor in Big T's, man. I love that place, man. It is a blast. Probably shouldn't be down there as much as I am, but it's still fun as shit.
Big T's. Is there any Big T's there? I'm just wondering.
Dude, there are some Big T's, but there's a lot more small T's than big. My favorite occasion, this is no shit. We went down to the strip club. What was it? I picked up Drew and them down there the other night. I was Wednesday night after the show. They called me and said, come down here, we're down here. So I get down there, and I literally run into a buddy in the parking lot. He's like, yeah, I'm getting ready to go in there, man. He walked in, he's like, check out that bitch. And all of a sudden she turned around, he's like, that's my fucking niece. I was like, oh, how shitty must that be? That's why I'm so thrilled that I don't have any girls for children. Because I would kill somebody if they could throw money at my daughter.
But would you take the money?
What'd you say, Jason? What'd you say? Trey. Somebody.
I said, but would you take the money?
Would I take the money, dude? You know me way too well. I won't answer that question.
Hey, guys, is MMA Madhouse going to be at UFC on Fox in Seattle?
I will be 100% honest. We do not cover the UFC at all. We think that there's enough verbal diarrhea out there. And our base and what we started was is supporting local MMA. I'll be honest, Chris Gregory posted something on MMAtopics.net. It's at 2.5 million views, and it's a UFC post. Smokes every post we have ever put up. But for me, it was worth it because we brought a whole new set of fans that don't know shit about regional and local MMA, and we opened their eyes to that shit because the Zuffa fucking Zombies – you know, they're taking over the world, man. Everybody wants to read the same stupid fucking article every single day posted by one guy, shared 800 times, and we just don't want to be part of that.
Well, be honest again, what if they invited you to cover it?
I personally would say no thank you. Me personally,
you're lying.
I would have to... No, I'm not. No. If this was K1, Glory, something like that, you know, I would fucking be all over in a heartbeat. But UFC and everybody who listens to this show, they know. I'm not a fan of fucking Dana White and the Zuffa Corporation. What they've done to tie fighters down and ruin the fucking sport, I'm not happy with it. You're going to tell me that a guy who fought 6 times a year signs a contract with you and now we see him once a year, twice if we're lucky, because you want to own his rights and his brand and market him? Dude, market him. What's this shit about your champions not fighting for 12, 16 months because of an injury? Strip them of a fucking title and put up somebody else, and when they get healthy, let them come back and fight for it. I just don't like the whole base of what they do. I think the fighters there are amazing, and I don't hurt and judge the fighters. I think the product that has been designed by Dana and the Fertittas is shit. I hate Tough, and I hate Zuffa.
Here's
what
my
do you mean by
if I got invited, If MMA Topics got invited, yes, we would probably cover it. I probably wouldn't myself. I personally like covering stuff like World Series of Fighting, RFA, not so much World Series of Fighting anymore, just because so many other people are doing it, but like RFA, you know, Titan, you know, shit like that, man, because so many people cover UFC. It's just, I mean, why? You know what I'm saying? Why even? I don't know, man. To me, it's like...
I think the reason you cover it is because if you've got a local brand, if you support local MMA, you can get closer to the guys like Trevor Smith or Mike Chiesa or some of these other Northwest guys and have a real conversation with them, you know, and expose them a little bit more because...
Well, we don't have a problem with that. We've never had a problem with interviewing USC guys at all. It's just we just don't cover USC. I mean, we do, but we just don't physically go there and cover their events. They have enough people doing it. I'll share one of my homies that covers UFC events. I'll share their shit, but I don't even really see a reason of me being there.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say something?
I'll be honest.
If you get me into the fucking strip club, I'll tell you how many stretch marks that those bitches have. So, I mean, I'll go wherever you fucking get me some tickets, too.
Trey, that's you. But let's be honest, Trey, down there in Texas, you spend most of your time covering Legacy. You spend most of your time covering the regional events in San Antonio and Austin. You're not trying to, you know, get into the UFC. You seem to have a better time going there. And I personally, I'll tell you right now, we got over 10,000 hits in 3 hours on Facebook from Cage Sport MMA, their event with results. Okay? I'm happy with those numbers. I love it. You want to hit one post 10,000 times in 3 hours for a regional event? That is great.
That's awesome.
You
I
know?
Would just say just cover the fighters, you know, because we've got a lot of Northwest fighters who are in the UFC or who are on their way to get into the UFC, you know, so.
And that
help
thing
them,
is we
you know,
tell
make a splash
fighters
when they get there. That's good.
One of the things I'd like to point out, too, is, like, a difference is, like, especially since Chris Gregory brought up the RFA, it sounded like Skip said something about one of their reporters covering Legacy, you know, like, to make a focal point about the Axis promotions and the athletes that they put on that are on their main card that open the doors to, like, a Nassau. If you notice a difference, like, those kids are hungry, bro. And 90% of the time, you end up getting exciting, battle-drawn-out wars, you know, on events like that. And, you know, true mixed martial arts enthusiasts, you know, I'd rather see a couple guys that are hungry go at it than guys that are already made it. And it's you don't really see the hunger or the drive because they feel like they've already accomplished what they need to, you know?
To me, also, it's limitations. UFC limits us on what we can do. You know, you can't interview the loser, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And it was kind of like that at World Series of Fighting. That's kind of why I kind of gotten away with it, or gotten away from that a little bit. But, you know, RFA, you know, you go backstage, talk to the fighters, you know, you get your interviews back there. You know, you do what you want in order to cover their fighters the best way you can. And UFC puts way too much limitations on reporters unless you're Ariel fucking Helwani, and that's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah, it's a numbers thing, you know.
Their last pay-per-view was horrible, bro. And again, that proves my point about how I'd rather watch an Axis card than some of the UFC cards, just because of the fact that I'm more motivated to watch kids that are hungry trying to make a statement and prove themselves than I am watching a card with guys that have already accomplished a lot of things. And I'm not taking nothing away from them as athletes, but, you know, they're not showing that drive and that hungriness, man, you know?
I know, I've been disappointed. I've been waiting for Access to have something on it. There hasn't been shit on it for the last 2 weeks. I'm just waiting. God damn.
Next weekend, MFC card's on, so, I mean, it's
that's going to be a great card.
Now, see, Jason, there you go. You've got fighters under Relentless Sports Management's house that fight for organizations like the XFC. And
I got to ask you, from a management's point of view, do you feel that they get, the fighters get a better touch to the fans and a better interaction to the fans at an event like that versus maybe a Zuffa event?
Well, here's the thing, though, man. I'm be honest with you. Like, you know, all these guys want to eventually make it to the UFC. You know, every athlete's different. Some of them got what it takes to make it to that level, and some of them, you know, might not make it to an active level, per se. You know, if they start fighting on a small pro-am show, they just are not, just don't have what it takes to take the next step, per se. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day,
yeah.
Like, my position is, gentlemen that I work with and ladies, is to get them to as far as they're ready to go, you know, make sure that they have the opportunity in front of them to be able to excel, to achieve as far as they can achieve, you know, because there's some athletes that are better and receptive to the training and progress compared to others, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, our position is just to support them, create the opportunities to allow them to develop and grow as far as they can grow. So that way, when they look back on it, they can say that, you know, they accomplished everything they set out to do during the course of the time of their fight career.
Well, I feel like UFC fighters are still pretty, compared to other major sports, UFC athletes are a lot more accessible. They're a lot more down to earth, and I think they relate to fans and to other fighters, you know, on a real, on a authentic level, on a personal level, compared to, you know, these cats in the NBA, NHL, NFL, etc.
They're a little more humble because, you know, the difference between mixed martial arts and comparing it to another mainstream sport, you know, I mean, let's be honest. If a guy loses twice in 1 year, they're out of a job, and they got to go back to the, you know, the regional team and put a run together to try to come back. You know, guys that sign these multi-million-dollar contracts in the NFL or the NBA, even if they get cut, that contract still exists. They got to buy that out, man. They're still going to get paid, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, that you got to look at, too, is different approaches. You know, some of these guys that are in the NFL or the NBA or professional NHL, you know, not so much I haven't seen NHL, but, you know, NBA players retire, make millions of dollars, but they go broke within 2 years, so they don't know how to manage their money. NFL players, same thing. You know, amen for Netflix, man, and all the documentaries that ESPN puts out, man, but it's definitely eye-waking, man. Antonio Walker won a world champion with the Heat, man, retired, and he's already broke, you know?
It's unbelievable. Iverson can't afford a cheeseburger. That poor guy has got all the talent and skill, but none, he doesn't have a brain in his head. I mean, that guy's got, he must have a sixth-grade education not to be able to survive off of $200-300 million. To blow it all, I mean, that takes a special kind of stupid to waste that kind of money.
Amen. Amen.
This is a dirty little secret about UFC fighters. There are some UFC fighters right now who can't even afford to be UFC fighters. They actually have to turn down fights because they have real jobs. And they're getting paid 8-8 or 10-10 or 12-12. And okay, if you fight three times a year, you're lucky. And at that rate, you're making, you know, $40,000-$50,000 a year. That's, you know, you could do better working at a tire shop or something.
I mean, look at Shane Carwin. He's an engineer, bro, making God knows how much money with his degrees. But he still fights when he's healthy from time to time.
Yeah.
He never gave up his engineering job.
Dude, look at your girl, Peggy Morgan.
Yeah, she's a professor.
Yeah, and she's a professor for her day job, you know. That's insane, you know.
Most of these guys aren't even surviving. They can't even eat off their UFC earnings. You know, they have to have real jobs, and that's kind of lame.
It is. But let's ask the question: how much is this just piss poor money management, or how much is this just not making enough?
I don't care who your manager is. The UFC doesn't have to sign. and they don't have to pay the greener pros. You know, if you don't have a name, you're going to get paid 8-8 or 10-10.
Yeah, entry level. At least you're going to build
you,
up
until
your
you win four or
person.
Five fights. You're not going to get make any more than that. And that how do you wait 5 years to make you know the kind of money you need from a real career? That's if you win all your fights. If you have a mixed record, you're one and done, or you fight two or three times and then you're out, and you never make a professional living at it. That hurts the credibility of the sport. I mean, maybe they need to be more selective of who they're signing, but at least pay them a living wage, because that's kind of embarrassing that UFC wants to be compared to NASCAR or Major League Baseball or whatever. But these guys are making minimum wage.
That's just like, you know, some people don't realize, like the guys that fight on the pay-per-views, you know, these guys are entitled to that pay-per-view money. They talk about, oh, you only made X amount of dollars. Yeah, well, how much did he get from that pay-per-view buy in his contract?
Almost. Oh, dude, very few guys get pay-per-view percentage. It's only the
probably
the main
card
guys.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think the main card guys get percentage of pay-per-view, do they?
No, I'm saying like a main card guy, like somebody who's the main event on a card, like an Alex Overeem, a Brock Lesnar, one of those guys.
Yeah, nobody feels sorry for those guys, but that's five. Those guys are in the 5th percentile. What about the other 95% of guys who?
Well, once again, this goes back to my point of why I think the fucking Zeus mentality is wrong. You tie these guys down so tight that they can't even earn a paycheck for the 9 months you have them sitting on a shelf. That's bullshit.
Yeah, not only that, but they can't even have sponsors unless that sponsor pays a huge fee up front to Zuffa first. I mean, these guys are getting screwed coming and going. Unless your name is Anderson Silva.
You know what's ironic, bro? Like, I'm not gonna call out the guy that's in the UFC that tried to pull this. I was talking about having a conversation the other day with a supplement company that has sponsored some of my athletes' pro fight supplements. And they were asking me, because I told them anytime athletes hit you up, send me their name if you can't find nothing, then I'll dig it up just to help them out. They've been good to my guys and my girls. And, you know, this particular athlete hit them up and tried to tell them that they wanted $4,000 to be on his shorts and banner. And I was like, really? I said, is this retard not realizing you can't be on your shorts? Then why is he trying to play you? Because you can't go on his shorts or his banner unless you're going to pay that brass tax for the promotion. And they called him out on it. Apparently, and like, oh, you know about that? And like, yeah.
He tried to pull
a fucking,
meant on his shorts and his banner when he's in
practice. Bro.
During practice, not during the actual fight.
No, that's what. But he was trying to sell. He was trying to sell, mislead them, and tell them that he could wear it on the fight. Yeah, right. Good luck.
No, yeah. I think there's, and I'm not sure how some of these sponsors afford it, because there's this guy. What is it, Kapalani Joe's? He's some bar over in Hawaii. And he sponsors all these fighters. Man, I don't know where he's getting that money to do that.
Yeah, but not all of them have to pay a brass tax, man. Like, you know, I mean, obviously supplement companies do, apparel companies do. But, you know, like some of these money groups and bars and stuff like that, they're not paying the brass tax.
Oh, really?
The banner shorts. It just comes down to whether or not the UFC approves them. That's all.
So if you've got deep pockets, you have to pay if you're a smaller operation, get in?
No, not even that. It's more like, you know, apparel companies obviously pay a brass tax. Supplements companies pay a brass tax. Outside of that, they're like, say you and I own a sports bar called Smokey Joe's Sports Bar, and we want to sponsor, only because I heard his name earlier, Cody McKenzie, for example. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have to pay a brass tax to be on his banner alone, and it all comes down to if the USC will approve it. They'll probably want to see a website to verify, you know, the business and all that, and then usually they approve it. I will give them that. They are good about that.
Well, if you're in other sports, you can't put stickers on the uniform. You can't put a logo at all. So it's a different standard. But at the end of the day, I guess UFC fighters at the bottom of the totem pole. They're not they're not getting paid what real professional athletes do. I don't think they're getting paid as much as arena football, are they? I mean, the average, the median athlete?
Probably not, because, you know, they don't fight as often, you know, to make that kind of money over a yearly salary. But, hey, I'm going to have to wrap this up, guys. We've got, like, 2 minutes left. Everybody, I want to thank everybody for joining tonight, all the different people who have called in and part of the show. As always, Rogue Show every Friday night. Let me give a big shout-out to my sponsors, Clinch Custom Mouth Guard at GetClinch.com. Also, Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution, Clock Tower Sports Bar, and Ink Tank Tattoo. Gentlemen, I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. We'll play out with a song and call this the end of the day. Thank you, gentlemen. Eagle, everyone.